Ephesians chapter 5, reading from the 15th through the 20th verse, and believing God's going to help us tonight. And the word of the Lord says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine." Somebody say, "No wine." "Where is in excess, but filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts," or "in your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God." And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It says, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those that are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do." And I'm going to focus tonight on verse 15. "Be careful how you live, or walk circumspectly." My title tonight is "Walk Circumspectly." Would you lift your voices to the Lord this morning? This evening, would you pray that God would help us to be hearers and doers of His word? Father in heaven, we love you this evening, God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the praise and the worship song. Thank you for the pre-service prayer. We thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of the saints tonight, God. Lord, all that you're doing and all that you're going to do, God, we pray that you would help us to be open, ready to receive your word tonight. In Jesus' name. The church say amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord. I want to make a reference that if you notice the liberty in the praise and worship, that's because there was unity in the pre-service prayer. Just saying. And if you've been around RT for any length of time, tonight is my annual mid-year challenge to all of us. And circumspectly means to, in a careful way or in a prudent way, to be spiritually cautious. To walk circumspectly is to walk cautiously, to look where one is stepping, to be vigilant, to be watchful, to be diligent, and to be attentive in our walk with God. The Apostle Paul is the author of this beautiful letter, six chapters long, excuse me. This is what we would reference to one of the prison epistles, because he would write other books while he was incarcerated. He'd write Philemon, he'd write Colossians, he would write Philippians. And the intention was that this letter would to the Ephesians would be circulated to the neighboring churches after it had been delivered and read to the Ephesians. And Paul spent 3 years with this church on his third missionary journey, specifically referencing Acts chapter 18, verse 23, through Acts chapter 19, verse 41. In Ephesus, if you remember maybe from past Bible studies or lessons, was a place famous for the pagan temple Diana. In fact, it's in Acts 19 and 35. It says, "And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, 'Ye men of Ephesus, and what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of Ephesus is a worshiper of the great goddess," little g, "Diana, of whom the image which fell down from Jupiter." And these people were so radical. These people were so intuned and committed to their pagan lifestyle and idols, so much so that the Bible tells us in Acts 19 and 34, notice this, that with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, "They, great is Diana of Ephesus." For 2 hours, these ungodly people would worship and proclaim to a pagan deity that could not move, had no arms that could reach up and grab them or hold them, had no heart, had no eyes, had no voice, had no ears, could not answer any prayers. But for the space of for 2 hours. They would proclaim, "Great is the goddess of Diana," and for 2 hours they would do that. And the Bible would go on to tell us that these pagan people would do that. And if they can do that, in fact, let me just make my first point tonight. If the world can be radical and vocal about their agenda, their idols, their priorities, regardless of where they are, or what the idols are, then we as the people of God, we ought not to hold back, to worship, to praise God, to hide who we are or what we're doing, and dress godly and dress holy and come into the house of God on a Wednesday night and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. If the world can do that for a pagan idol that can't move, that has to be carried, that has to be dusted off, who are we to be ashamed to say, you know what, on a Wednesday night, on a Sunday, on a Thursday, on Friday, there in my office on Monday, to be able to give God some praise.
Hallelujah.
I didn't want to preach tonight. I want to teach. Amen. But as the people of God who are spirit-filled and spirit-led, we need to ensure that we are truly being the light. Our actions should reflect our faith. Paul says, "Walk circumspectly, redeeming the time because the days are evil." He's referencing the evil days where sin is just so rampant and out in front and celebrated. And there ought to be an urgency for us to be about our Father's business.
Amen.
What better time to be spiritually vigilant than now?
Amen.
What better time? Romans 5 and 20 tells us where sin abound, grace did much more abound. We better be vocal about Jesus. I'll say that again just for those in the balcony. We better be vocal for Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We need to be vocal about getting to heaven. We need to be vocal in word and in deed.
Amen.
Luke tells us in Luke 9 and 26 says, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed." He said, if you're ashamed of me, there's going to come a day where I'm going to be ashamed of you. We don't want the Lord to be ashamed of us. We want him to welcome us. Welcome that good and faithful servant. Look at the mansion I've got prepared for you. You got to walk circumspectly. We need to seize the day and realize there is no excuse for us to become silent on who we are after all that the Lord has done for us.
Amen.
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 We ought not scream louder at a ball game than we do with our praise in the house of God.
Amen.
We ought not be okay with spending more quality time in our hobbies and extracurricular activities or socializing than we do with the things of God and God's kingdom. Somebody say, walk circumspectly. Just want to reiterate that. That means to walk with spiritual caution, to look to where we're stepping, to be vigilant in our walk with God, to make sure that our path is the right path and headed in the right direction. Because sometimes you could be on the right road. I say it before. You could be on the right road, but headed in the wrong direction. You could be on the 101 North thinking you're going to L.A. 2 hours later, be figured out. And some folks do that in life spiritually, be on the right road, but doing it for the wrong reason. They headed in the wrong direction. We got to walk circumspectly. We got to be careful that we do not allow a physical season change. Somebody say, summer's here. We can't allow a physical season change to minimize our spiritual season of growth. Paul was writing, his audience was to the faithful Christians that were in the midst of ungodly environments. In fact, we see that in Ephesians 1 and 1. Paul says, to the faithful that are in Christ Jesus. Being faithful to God is something that we should strive for.
Amen.
It's the faithful that are perpetually blessed. You could not be faithful and have some blessings, right? Because the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, and forget not his benefits, right? But if you want to be perpetually blessed, the psalmist tells us in Proverbs 28 and 20 tells us that a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Earlier in the year, specifically in January, I declared that we were going to go on focus on some three key areas with the word kingdom: seeking, serving, and growing. And we have seen obviously the hand of God in our lives and bless our efforts. And we're going to keep focusing on prayer. We're never going to let up on prayer, Revival Tabernacle. It's not going to happen. But we started the year off with 21 days of prayer and fasting, and we've seen the hand of God, and we can do better. Somebody say we could do better. And so I've seen many of us become revived again with prayer and pre-service prayer Thursday nights, and I commend Brother Parr this evening for leading us in prayer. But thank you for being a church that prays. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 to pray without ceasing. There's nothing more powerful than the Spirit-filled people praying together in unity. So what happened in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1 and 2, they were unified together, and then the Holy Ghost fell in Acts chapter 2 because they were gathered together in prayer. Philippians 4 and 6 tells us, be careful for nothing, but in everything. Somebody say, by prayer. Got to let our requests be known unto God. The kingdom of God is the only thing worth seeking, serving, and growing. You can never go wrong being invested in the kingdom of God. Bishop Keys instilled it into the fabric of this church, Matthew 6 and 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We've seen the perpetual fire of revival and the first steps of harvest taking place, but we cannot let up during a season of vacation and a season of climate change and a season of relax. It's the Lord doesn't go on vacation. The devil doesn't take a vacation. Sin doesn't take a vacation. Your problems don't take a vacation. And so we've got to make sure we walk circumspectly during this season, that we walk and we serve God no matter where we are, no matter who we're with, no matter who's watching, no matter what the perception is. Hey, I'm going to serve the Lord. Personal growth is needed. It's absolutely imperative that we take personal responsibility for our walk with God. Scripture tells us in Luke 2 and 49, I must be about my Father's business. So I ask you tonight, no raising of hands, no pointing, no laughing. This is only something you can answer within yourself. Are you legitimately reading your Bibles? Are you memorizing Bible verses? Or are you dwelling on the lies of the enemy? Are you praying every day, or are you still worrying about stuff and not praying? Are we spiritually engaged in the harvest field that God has positioned you at? Because all of us have a harvest field that God has positioned us at. Are you seeking, serving, and growing in the kingdom? Only you can answer this about yourself. Philippians 2 and 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And before you start to self-reflect and try to measure yourself by somebody else, you're not allowed to do that. Everybody grows at a different pace.
Amen.
Don't frustrate yourself or frustrate the process of saying, well, I'm doing better than they are, or I think this. You just work out yourself in your own mind, your own heart, transparency before God. Don't worry about what other people think. Just worry about what God actually knows.
Amen.
Somebody say, walk circumspectly. Philippians 2 and 12 tells us to work out our own salvation with reverence or fear and trembling. This week, just this week alone, we've got several opportunities to become engaged in the kingdom of God. Tomorrow is focused prayer and fasting. Friday's ladies gathering. Sunday's RT Kids. Sunday we have two services, 9 o'clock and 11. And don't come alone.
Hallelujah.
Bring somebody with you. It's all a blessing. It's all an opportunity to seek, to serve, to grow in the kingdom. One of the blessings that I have of being a pastor is to lead Revival Tabernacle, to feed you and to protect you. And this message here tonight, this Bible study here tonight is aimed at a spiritual warning and an encouragement to all of us to walk circumspectly. I think it's valuable that at the mid-year point that I raise the flag and all of us take a self-analysis with the Word of God as our guide to say, how am I doing? If I can make another point here tonight, don't backslide over the summer.
Amen.
Don't go backwards over the summer. Don't allow the hard work and focus and labor that so many of you have made drift back as this physical season of summer approaches. Some of you have spent hundreds and thousands of hours and thousands of dollars going to conferences and buying clothes and just for 8-7 weeks to throw it all away. Really? Let's not get comfortable or spiritually go on vacation while a spiritual harvest is lingering. God help us if we go into vacation mode. Come on, somebody. Walk circumspectly. Be careful. Be careful. If you find somewhere to pray, find somewhere to tune into RT, find somewhere to read your Bible, find somewhere to say, no, I'm skipping this meal. Dad's not going to have breakfast this morning. I'm going to fast, but I'm skipping this meal. I'll meet you for lunch, or Dad's going to be an hour late, or tell the family, hey, we're going to the 9 o'clock, and then we're leaving to go out of town on vacation, but we're going to be in the house of God. Can I tell you, we got to make sure that we walk circumspectly. The summertime is here.
Amen.
It's upon us.
Hallelujah.
This week, most of the kids are done with school. Seasons change. Life adjustments will be made. Schedules will adjust. New routines will have to be established. And with that comes a temptation to become apathetic with our relationship with God. Somebody say real talk.
Real talk.
Do not go on vacation mode spiritually. I didn't get too many amens right there.
Amen.
Do not spiritually sleep in.
Amen.
Now is not the time to spiritually hibernate or sleepwalk spiritually. In fact, now is the time to do more. To set some new spiritual goals for the summer. Some spiritual goals for the summer. Right? Paul says in Ephesians 5 and 15, walk circumspectly, not as fools. Redeeming the time in verse 16, because the days are evil. Aim that this season to be a seeker and a server in the kingdom and to grow in the kingdom of God. Let me help you out, moms and dads. Let the kids sleep in and use that extra time of quiet to pray and read your Bible and meditate and get focused.
Amen.
Even yet, bring those precious kids and grandkids to church with you on Wednesday nights.
Amen.
3 John 1 and 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. We're adding an additional RT Kids service, or we are adding additional, I should say, RT Kids services using the summer, during the summer on Wednesday nights in July. The schedule will be sent out, but here's just a glimpse of it on the screen. But on Wednesday nights, we have some RT Kids in addition to Sunday school. So we don't do vacation Bible school yet, but we're doing what we can. So between Sunday school and RT Kids in the summer, there's great opportunity. 3 times in the month of July that there'll be RT Kids. What a blessing. On top of Sunday school, to God be the glory. What we have got to walk circumspectly.
Amen.
Bible tells us in Proverbs 22 and 6 to train up a child in the ways that they should go. You know who the greatest influence is on our kids? I am so thankful for an amazing kids ministry and Sunday school department, but as amazing as they are, they are not the greatest influence on our kids. As terrible as television is, that's not the greatest influence on our kids. You know what? Even the school system is not the greatest influence on their kids. You know who is the greatest influence on our kids? It's us, the parents. Whoever is the parental figure is the greatest influence. If we don't teach them, if we don't love them, if we don't invest in them, someone else will. And they may teach them things that you'll be embarrassed that they've learned. We're not going to let that happen at RT, are we? Psalm 78 and 6 says that the generation to come might know, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Notice this in verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Youth department, Friday nights are for you. In fact, the second and third row where the brothers to Marquez are at is a area VIP seating. Sundays at 11 for RT Chosen. I've told Brother Bonham he's going to have to move if they push him out. And he's good with that. He knows. And we do that in fun, with in laughter. Because anybody under 100, you're still young. We know that at RT. But I need the help with the parents. We've got to make sure on Sundays at 11 that they're sitting in the VIP section. And on July 12th, we're going to have a youth evangelist coming to preach. And in fact, we're going to host a Section 1 youth rally in Buellton in the month of August. And this summer, we're not going on vacation mode, but we're going to walk circumspectly. Our very own youth president's going to be here. So bring your friends. Some of you have grown so much in the Lord this year. I'm so proud of you. And keep it up. But your friends need what you have, and they want what you have. They just don't know how to ask. They're just learning about who they are. Be that friend. Be that friend that introduces them to Jesus. 1 Timothy 4 and 12 tells us, notice this, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in love and spirit and faith and in purity. How about we draw closer to the Lord this summer? Right? Because, you know, we're not going to... We're not aiming to have I'll stay on track. Ecclesiastes 12 and 1. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Walk circumspectly. Somebody say, cuidado. Be careful not to lose your spiritual footing because of idleness and distraction. Because neither of those are spiritual gifts. Idleness will get you in trouble, and distraction will get you off course. Be spiritually vigilant. Bible tells us in Ephesians 5 and 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. To ask yourself, is this acceptable unto God? Is what I'm about to do, is it acceptable unto God? I got to walk circumspectly. Is what I'm about to do, is it pleasing to God? Would God be okay? If God were to come back right now, what is he going to find me doing? What is he going to find me doing? Don't watch things that you shouldn't be watching. If it's evil, if it's anti-biblical, if it's immoral, shut it off. Delete it. Cancel the subscription. Throw it away. Got to walk circumspectly. You can live without an iPhone. I know it's hard to be apostolic without an iPhone. I know. I pray for all the Android users. I understand. But you can live without a phone. They're half saved. So Psalm 101 and 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. It doesn't say anything about technology. It says, I will set no wicked thing. A book can be wicked. A person could be wicked. You got to walk circumspectly. A poster can be wicked. Come on, somebody. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Goes on to say, it will not cleave to me. It gets better. Somebody say, it gets better. A forward heart shall not depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. I know that's hard. I get it. We work in public places and it's challenging. But listen. Somebody say, listen. ¿Cómo se dice listen in español? ¿Escuchen? Escucha. Be a Christian wherever you go.
Amen.
The beach, the cruise ship, relatives at home, business trip. Speak life. Have hope and joy and have biblical conviction and stand for those no matter where you are. Don't let those get muted or be situational based on the surroundings. No. Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 1 and 10, I love this Bible verse. It says, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't have to consent. Don't cut spiritual corners, right? Walk circumspectly. God is counting on us.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 3 and 2, very powerful Bible verse. You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. In fact, I remember going to a restaurant one time, and the manager on duty, I'd never met him before, but he was staring at me the whole time I was eating, and they've given me A-plus treatment. I've never had go to a restaurant and get the kind of treatment I got from this man. Never. Hey, do you want, need some more to drink? You need more fries? You know, just amazing. And then finally he worked up the courage and said, are you guys the Panero's? Just because, you know, I guess he'd been watching this online. But you know what? They know who you are. Watching you. They understand. They see holiness. Hopefully they're seeing holiness. Hopefully they're seeing and feeling the power of God and the love of God and the compassion of God when you walk in and you walk out. Got to walk circumspectly. Got to walk circumspectly. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. There's perilous times, but it is the greatest time for revival and harvest that the church has ever seen. God's counting on us. Church picnic is next month. Praise God for that. Same location as last year because we've pretty much grown out the other location. So more centralized location that can accommodate church growth. It'll be on July 22nd. Bring the family. Free food. We're going back to the gazebo. She showed it before I asked, but we're going back to the gazebo. And Brother Puentes will be with us ministering and likely have lunch on site. And it's not just going to be a good time, but it's going to be a time of celebration. And God will meet us there. God's going to meet us there. It's going to kick off our summer revival, or what we call a forward in revival. And it kicks off that Sunday. Or a Sunday the 30th, let me show you on the screen here. It'll start off with Brother Gomez, Evangelist Gomez, on July 30th, and 9 o'clock will be English, and 11 o'clock will be bilingual service again. And Brother Drost will be here that midweek. We're going to add some additional prayer meetings, at least one prayer meeting, because you can't have revival without having prayer. And you got to have more prayer. Somebody say more prayer. Another thing I want to share with you is that the Christmas banquet's coming back. And thank the Lord. It'll be held in December at the Radisson. But none of this stuff matters. Somebody say, none of this matters. if we're not walking circumspectly and we're not about our Father's business. So how are we doing? How are you doing? How's your holiness doing? What's your stewardship? How's that doing? How's your disciple making doing? How's your worship? We prayed about a lot of stuff. I just got to think, Sister Victoria, that there's got to be like an unclaimed prayer closet somewhere in heaven for unclaimed prayer requests. Or just prayers that are ready to be answered that we haven't yet prayed. There's got to be a passion in us to draw closer to God mid-year. Because maybe we started out real good in the beginning. Just like anything else, when you set your mind to do something in the beginning, first day on the job, you know, you show up early, but, you know, and you get your keys and you get your desk and you're all happy and you put your family's picture on the wall and you get your first couple paychecks and then all of a sudden you just kind of get comfortable. We cannot get comfortable. Things of God, we got to walk circumspectly. Got to walk circumspectly. Oh, God. Help us to be diligent about our Father's business. When you first sign up for a gym membership, you know, I'm going to be there every day at X amount of time and 2 weeks goes by, but then you just it kind of gets a slow fade, right? You met that significant other, you'd stay on the phone for a long time. Then, if, you know, then it's just like, why are you calling me? Right? Because in the beginning, it's like, we can't lose that fresh fire serving God. Do you realize what is happening in our church and in the church of the living God? Do you realize what's happening? It's exciting what God is doing. It's exciting. Can't almost contain emotionally what we see, what we can see God doing, what it's happening. Where the world likes to say the stars are aligned, but I like to say biblical prophecy is coming together in real time. It's exciting. This is the greatest hour of the church. It's the main event. It's the fight that everybody's been waiting for. We got to walk circumspectly. We got to be careful. We got to be calculated. We got to come in here like this could be our last service. Some of us remember what our last service in this building was like 3 years ago. Oh, man, if we knew then what we know now, right? Things would be a whole lot different, right? Let's not forget what God has done and what God is doing. We got to walk circumspectly. Song says, dance like he did it. We got to live like he's doing it. Right?
Yes.
Sing songs like, but God, right? It's got to be more than a song. It's got to be a lifestyle. It's got to be a conviction. I'm about my Father's business. I'm walking circumspectly. I know we're here to go shopping, but I'm here to look for somebody to invite them to church. Who's next? I know we're here because you need a husband, but I'm actually here looking to find somebody to bring them to church. I'm here because somebody needs Jesus. I know I'm here because I needed a job and a paycheck, but I'm really here because this is my mission field. I'm walking circumspectly, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The days are evil. But we are the light. We are the salt of the earth. We are the city on a hill. We've got to walk. We've got to be careful. We've got to be vigilant, be sober, because our adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But we're going to put him under our feet. We're going to keep him under our feet. We're going to walk in victory because we're walking circumspectly. We're not going to fall asleep spiritually. Jesus. be sleepwalking. No, I'm not going to sleepwalk. I'm not going to go through the motions. I'm going to be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to sing songs to myself. I'm going to sing spiritual songs. I'm going to make medley in my heart, and I'm going to give thanks unto God for all things. So where do you fit in? Where do you fit in the kingdom? Where do you fit in seeking, serving, and growing in the kingdom? How have you been doing the first 6 months of the year? How are we seeking Him? How are we serving Him? How are you growing as a disciple? Where do you fit in is up to us. It's up to you individually. Because the body of Christ is for everybody. Amen. We need one another. We need one another's prayers. If you don't want to pray for anyone else, pray for me. Anybody? Can anybody use any extra prayer? Amen. Right? We need another one another service. You may have started 2023. You may have started off slow. But it's okay. Starting off slow is better than not starting at all. And we can all do better. Somebody say we can all do better. You take it up a notch. Bible tells us in Romans 12 and 11, be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. What this means is in the New Living Translation, it says, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Hallelujah. That's what that means. There is no time in this short life for ease. No time. Let's not walk in carelessness and neglect, but let's walk circumspectly in our relationship with the Lord. We walk careful. I don't know. Don't accept every invitation you get. I'm not that way anymore. I'm sorry. I'm going to just send you a card in the mail. I'll Uber something to you. I'll drop box it or whatever I got to do. But I don't do those things anymore. I know we didn't always have a chaperone before, but we're going to have a chaperone now. Why? Because we're walking circumspectly. I know. We could use the extra hours. We could use the extra income. But you know what? I got to seek first the kingdom. I'm walking circumspectly. I got to leave at X amount of time because I got somewhere to go. They're counting on me. My Father's counting on me to be in His business because I'm invested in His business. Oh, I didn't know your dad was a business owner. Oh, yeah. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth is His throne. Heaven's His throne and earth is His footstool. And they're going to be one person short if I'm not there. And I got to be there. Somebody say late is better than not. Mr. Parr, if you would come, just give us some piano tonight or organ. How are you doing? How are we doing? What spiritual goals as we stand tonight? What spiritual goals do you have for yourself and your family? How can you and I do better the back half of the year? What will change? Will anything change? Change will come if we change. Change begins with us.
Yeah.
I know we don't like change as people. Right? We don't. Some of you've been using the same products for a long time. And the only reason why you've changed products is because they've expired or they don't sell them anymore. We get frustrated when they change the label. I like a particular ketchup, and I thought the girls bought a different one, the wrong one, and it just happened so happened. The ketchup has looked the same since I was knee-high to a cricket. Sister Rivas, I looked at it. I thought they were giving me one of those sugar-free ketchups. I was about to go to Brother Hutron's house across the neighborhood. Give me some real ketchup, man. And I started looking at it. They just changed the label. We don't like change. But where would we be if God didn't change us? You know the kind of change we want? Is the change that begins on the inside. God created me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Change me. Because if I get changed on the inside, it'll reflect on the outside. So how are we doing? Some of you haven't come to the altar all year. For some, I'm just pastor. Somebody say it's okay, pastor. Well, I didn't get too many okays right there, but I'm coming for you anyways. What if every service, we treated every service like our last service? So you don't know what your neighbor is going through, your brother and sister, what they're facing, what they're dealing with, the hell some of them have to go through to get here, and what they face when they walk through the doors of their house. We're a blessed people. Some of you, we can do better. Walk in circumspectly. Walk vigilant, looking around the corner, making sure there isn't somebody there to try to entice me for something. No. Because I've repented. I'm not that anymore. That's not who I am. I'm going to do better. I'm going to get closer to God. I'm going to love more. I'm going to grow. I'm going to serve. I'm going to worship. I'm going to give all that I can for the kingdom of God. Does anybody want to do better? Anybody want to grow? Anybody want to seek? Anybody want to serve? Anybody want to look back at communion service and foot washing service later in the year and say, you know what? Pastor, thank you. You made me a little bit uncomfortable. You made me mad back in June, but thank you, Pastor. Come on, somebody. We walk circumspectly. Can we feel the altars this evening? Whether it's there standing or kneeling, just make a pledge to the Lord. I'm going to do better this summer, this mid-year. I'm going to do better.